Charles, Mr. Zaleski.
May it please the Court. Your Honor, I'd like to begin by addressing the issue of waiver. The May 26th and June 1st filings by the defendant and trial counsel in this case sufficiently challenged the recommendations made by the magistrate below and preserved the issue for appeal under 636B1. The apparent objection by the government has to do with the specificity and the level of particularity with respect to those filings.
But you know, Mr. Zaleski, we have discouraged in the past these kind of "we object to everything" kinds of statements. Now, it may be, since there was only one thing in this magistrate judge's report, that the everything collapses into the single issue, and it's possible for a rational person to know that this is, in fact, the one thing that's being objected to. But it's a very risky strategy if you think that there's potentially more than one thing there.
Judge, I would agree with that, and I think the level of specificity needs to be reviewed in connection with the complexity of the case. Some cases may present a lot of factual issues, a lot of
I would
of
say
issues.
Even if it's more than one, I mean, you have to, the rules are there to structure the trial process. By the time you've made this objection here, perhaps it's clear, but if you just say the magistrate's ruling was in error, that's not specific in and of itself, even if it is specific in this particular case and context.
Judge, a trial counsel did refer to the factual findings made by the magistrate, as well as the ultimate recommendation, which had to do with the issue of voluntariness. And that was the sole issue at the hearing. So it was not a complex case. And the trial court was able to discern the issue and, in fact, rule on it and come to the conclusion that the magistrate's recommendation should be adopted and that it was correct. Also, Judge, I point out that the trial counsel in this case was not afforded the entire benefit of the 10 days to make that objection. So,
could I also say, I mean, you may be bailed out by the fact that the district court itself, although criticizing the specificity of this objection, makes a finding in your favor, says it's decidedly an objection to the recommendation, and Judge Stadtmuller then goes on to review it. Now, had the district court wanted to stand on ceremony, you might have been in a more difficult spot.
Well, that's absolutely correct, Judge. The fact that the trial court did proceed to evaluate the objection and review the magistrate's decision does help the defendant in this case. Judge, with respect to the confession itself, Officer Kurowski's made certain representations to Mr. Charles. I've gone through those in my brief. I think significantly are the two representations which the magistrate did find to constitute promises.
But isn't your case pretty much over once the district court credits Officer Kurowski's testimony, which he does?
Well, Judge, I don't think so. I think there was a meeting of the minds here between the detective and Mr. Charles. Both parties were contemplating that this would be a state prosecution. Mr. Charles contemplating working with the Milwaukee Police Department, with the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office, and the detective himself contemplated that as well. Ultimately, that did not come to pass. And the meeting of the minds here was ultimately premised upon a faulty premise that this would be a state prosecution, which ultimately turned out to be a federal prosecution.
So at that Kurowski point, never says anything like that, and there's no reason he couldn't have put in good word with the U.S. attorneys.
Judge,
state police cooperate with the U.S. attorneys all the time.
Judge, that's absolutely correct that Kurowski did not specifically promise that this would be a state
prosecution. It was not been in his power to do that. As an experienced police officer, I'm sure he knew that.
Judge, that's correct, but there was an implicit premise in the conversation, in the dialogue here, that this would be a state prosecution. Judge, I see that I have 1 minute.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Phillips?
Thank you. May it please the Court? Mr. Zaleski? With regard to the waiver issue, Your Honor, the government will stand on the strength of its brief, but indicate that, I believe it's on page 13, there is an assertion that the May 26th and June 1st submissions by the defendant were untimely. We can see that they actually were timely as far as within the 10-day period. Outside of that, the second issue with regard to Detective Kurowski's promises, there were no guarantees in this court in this case, and I think the court has acknowledged that in its questions to Mr. Zaleski. Detective Kurowski, in his testimony at the suppression hearing with the magistrate court, indicated very forthrightly, I think the magistrate court acknowledged that as well, that he was very forthright and was taken by his honesty, that he did have in mind that this would be prosecuted in state court, that he would put a good word in with the district attorney with regard to the charges, and that they could possibly be pended, and he could get out of jail and work with Detective Kurowski. That being said, there were no promises, and he made that explicitly clear to Mr. Charles. Mr. Charles also was no babe in the woods, so to speak. He'd been through the criminal justice system before. He'd actually been a cooperator with law enforcement previous to this incident and was looking for the best situation possible in order to get out of what he had just been caught doing, which was selling drugs. Thus, there being no implied promises, there being no coercion, there being no inappropriate language spoken on behalf of Detective Kurowski, I submit that Mr. Charles' confession was wholly voluntary and wholly knowing as well. If the court has any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Thank you, Mr. Fuller.
Thank you.
Mr. Zaleski, how much time does he have? 1 minute? Anything further?
Your Honor, the ultimate question is whether the defendant in this case was able to make a rational decision about whether to confess or not. And based on the representations made, which constituted inducements and, in fact, promises, he was not able to fully make a rational decision with the idea that this could turn out to be a federal prosecution as opposed to a state prosecution. That was a piece of information and a consideration that Mr. Charles would have in order to fully make a rational decision. There's certainly a complete difference between a state prosecution and a federal prosecution. And based on the dialogue between Mr. Charles and the detective, the conversation was about a state prosecution. And
what is it you think the detective promised him?
Judge, the detective promised that Mr. Charles would be able to work with him, with the Milwaukee Police Department as a confidential informant, and that cooperation would be noted to the Milwaukee County District Attorney. There's no reference to any work with the U.S. Attorney's Office, with the DEA. The entire tenor of the conversation was at the local level. And
What would his state sentence have been if he had been prosecuted?
Judge,
court.
He would not have been looking at a mandatory sentence. That would remain to be seen. The level of exposure would be considerably different, and he would.
But
be
you don't know what the range for this amount of drugs under Wisconsin law would be. I mean, I realize there was a mandatory minimum here.
Judge, off the top of my head, I do not know that.
Yeah, I just wondered.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Zaleski. And you were appointed.
Yes, sir.
So we thank you for accepting that.